Hello, everyone, and welcome to Meow Mix, the Carolina Panthers podcast. My name is Steven.
My name is Jerry.
And we are here to talk about another Carolina Panthers loss, dropping the Panthers to 1-11 after a 21-18 defeat in Tampa Bay to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And a game that I honestly, man, another winnable game for the Panthers that they just found a way to lose, I feel like. We'll get into kind of
not covering the number one weapon on the other opposing team.
That's a problem that this team seems to always find. But I just want to jump right into it. The fourth, third and one with couple minutes left, whatever it was, down three with the ball, driving, third and one. Chuba has looked good all game. He's able to pick up those 1 or 2 yards. Instead, you throw it on third and one, then you chunk it deep on fourth and one. That this team loves to do. They love to chunk it deep on fourth and one for some reason. Why? Why? Explain it to me. Someone out there. I know you can't because you, think it's freaking stupid. But someone explain it to me. Why this is a good idea.
Or why not? If you're going to pass the ball, which I disagree. I think you have to give Chuba the chance. I think he's earned that right as your running back this season. Yeah. And second of all, I think Miles Sanders has earned the right to not play as much as he does. But that's my personal opinion. Why not do a play-action bootleg where your tight end, Steven Sullivan, who it should be your number one pass-catching tight end.
At this point, yeah.
No hands. After that play he made today, no question about it. He needs to be out there on pass-catching tight end duties.
Yeah, he needs to be getting targeted at least 4 or 5 times a game.
Yes. But you do that little play-action tight end leak on third and one or on fourth and one instead of those boneheaded plays you're doing.
You're going for it on fourth down anyway, right? So run it on third and one. You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose by running it on third and one. And you have everything to gain because Chuba has been getting those yards. Now, don't do it stupidly running out of the pistol or the shotgun. Put Bryce under center and power run that thing right up the middle. You're going to get the yards. He's been running them all day long.
I'm going to play a counter out point. Earlier in this game, there was a third and short. Unfortunately, they ran it with Sanders, and Sanders lost 3 yards.
But did they run it? I think they ran it from the pistol, right?
I think so.
Yeah, but they didn't run it from under center. They didn't run it the way good teams run the ball.
Yes.
You know, and Bryce was under center more in this game than we've seen him all season long.
I don't want to, like, jump off your negativity here, but no. I saw a lot more under center, a lot more motions.
There are positive things to talk about here in a minute as soon as I'm done with my negativity. But this game was winnable. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, they could have forced overtime or forced the Bucs to go down the field with, you know, less than a minute left. Like, this game should have, the Panthers should have scored more than 20 points. Right, which we haven't seen a couple of times this season. And they really had an opportunity to win Chris Tabor's first game and kind of make everyone feel good. And instead, they just did the same damn thing that they have done every single game. And they just throw it away. And I don't understand. I really don't. Now, aside from that, you know, in a game that the Panthers scored 18 points, lost to a division rival, and dropped to 1-11, there are some positive things to discuss, right? I mean, we did see glimpses of something.
We saw more pass protection. We saw better pass protection. We saw rolling out by Bryce Young, something that we have desperately wanted from this team. We saw more than 13 points scored since the Dolphins loss, where they gave up, you know, where it was trash time. I mean, come on. They look better. Like you said, they had a chance. Now, I'm not going to say it's all on offense because I felt like the offense did a lot this game. But that being said, you have to stop Mike Evans. Like, that was the number one key going into this game, is you got to stop Mike Evans. 7 receptions, 162 yards. One of those was a 75-yard touchdown. The other one was
the play after we finally took the lead. He went 75 yards. Oh, my God.
So, but they did stay consistent running the ball. Again, Miles Sanders should not be seeing the ball as much.
Yeah.
He still had 8 carries, which he – no. No, give Chuba or Blackshear more of those.
Blackshear, yeah. You know, 1 carry, no targets for Blackshear. You know, Blackshear is – he's better than Miles Sanders, especially this season. Miles Sanders just looked terrible. Terrible.
He looks like he doesn't know what to do when the ball gets to him.
You know, and Chuba did get 25 carries, right? Yeah. To 8, which is, you know, certainly a that's the type of percentage we want to see. We want to see Chuba with 25 carries, mm-hmm. as opposed to Miles Sanders with 25 carries. But
I don't want to see Chuba 35, but 25 is a good number. But it needs to be another back getting carries.
Yeah.
And with that said, Miles Sanders is not the guy. Miles Sanders looks lost back there. Like, I would get handed the ball and I would freak out and sit on my butt because, yeah.
Miles Sanders sucked all season long. You know, mm-hmm. we've talked about it. He got 9 touches in this game, 8 carries and 1 target or 1 catch. That's 9 carries too much, or 9 touches too much, in my opinion, in our opinion. Now, I will say that the one long touchdown pass to Mike Evans, J.C. Horn was not on the field.
Nope.
He's on under a pitch count, they said. And
rightfully so. Let's not knock him.
Sure, sure. No, I'm nothing against J.C. Horn. Just that those are the facts, right? He was not on the field. I feel like had he been on the field, maybe that's a different result. You know, maybe he's able to stop that. I don't know. But I thought J.C. early looked a little rusty, looked a little slow, but made some plays, you know, in this game. It was mm-hmm. good to have him back. Came out of the game healthy, at least that's what we think. So who knows, you know, what we'll hear tomorrow. But as of now, it seems like he came out of it healthy. So good there. I thought Jackson had a couple of nice plays as well. So
Dante Jackson has put together a fairly nice year. Yeah. I mean, it's hard being on this team, but look at the stats that the quarterbacks are throwing against us, mm-hmm. especially targeting him. He's not giving up the big plays and stuff. C.J. Henderson, you know, that's his role on the defense, is to get beat.
And that's what happened on that Mike Evans. That was the C.J. Henderson target. Troy Hill, unfortunately, got hurt in this game. You know, probably. I don't know, but didn't look good. He wasn't putting any weight on his left leg. You know, at least that's from what I saw from TV. So we'll have to hear about that. But, yeah, man, there were some encouraging things here, but overall, it just feels like they just left an opportunity out on the field, and I hate it.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but at the same time, I guess I'm on the other side of this, is saying, hey, I see some positives. At least the past 3 games, I haven't seen positives.
I just want to win. I want to win.
I want to win, too.
It's but like this losing
I
by
guess
3.
I had a different view going into this game of, I want to see some life. I want to see something. Yeah. And we did that.
Now, we just have no incentive to lose. We don't have a first round pick. Every loss, the Chicago Bears fans are cheering. And I hate it.
Oh, 100%.
I hate it. We have to do something to get out of that number one pick. We have to win a couple games here. I mean, we have
and
to.
And we have some opportunities. This was one. We face them again later on in the season at home. I think that's another one. I think facing New Orleans, who's looked pretty bad lately, is another one.
And Carr maybe out. We don't know, but didn't look good today. What did you think about the uniforms today? You a fan of the color rush? Blue, blue, blue?
I like the blue, blue, blue. As long as it's done sporadically. It's better than the white jerseys, black pants. I like that very rarely, but honestly, it's been every game, and it's not the greatest.
I think the blue jerseys, black pants is the ugliest combination that we have, and they keep doing it. The blue is nice, and like you said, it's fun every once in a while. If it was as often as we see the white and black, then I wouldn't like it. But this is the first time, I think, since 2017 they've worn blue. So, and they're now 2-2 all time with that combination. So, yeah, Jerry, I mean, it was funny. You know, we were texting throughout the game as we usually do. And you at one point had said, once we had gotten to 10 points, you were, we're like, you know, the offense looks pretty good today. It was in the third quarter, and I was like, Jerry, it's 10 points. You know, 10 points we can score. But to your point that you were trying to make, that I was making fun of, they didn't look totally lost.
Exactly. That's what's sad, is not looking totally lost as an NFL team is better.
It is better.
That's basically what I'm saying.
It is better, yeah. And, you know, aside from the one long Mike Evans play, I thought the defense, again, played well enough to win. And even giving up 21 points, that's in the NFL, that should be good enough to win most weeks.
Yeah, I do think the pass rush needs to get played better.
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Your boy.
Or not in the room, because he got kicked off the room.
Your boy Brian Burns, who was already just having a non-factor game that he occasionally has, he could get no penetration, couldn't even get close to the quarterback, got kicked out for throwing a punch at a helmet. You know, and it feels like it's pent-up frustration from just a terrible season all around. You know, it's a dumb thing to do.
Very dumb.
Never throw a punch at a helmet. You're not going to win, ever.
No.
It's dumb. That being said, you know, Brian Burns has, between the contract, the losing, the coach being fired, and the questions about his play and not putting up the numbers I'm sure he wanted to put up in a contract season. And again, just the losing. It's hard not to understand where the frustration comes from.
That being said, you've got to be smarter. You've got to be a lot. This was an extra point.
Yeah.
In a one score game.
Yeah.
You have to play better.
And you know, again, out for the rest of the game. Who knows what difference that made, right?
Yeah.
Again, he wasn't doing anything in this game, but
he could have had a strip sack later. Right. You never know.
You get past him one time, and it could be a massive, massive game-changing play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's known to do that from time to time. So, yeah, just not smart there. And the pass rush overall was, I think they got to Baker, what, just one time?
Three times, three QB hits. Well,
sacked him one time, yeah. So. Just, again, ineffectual. But even with the pass rush just not being very good this season, the defense has been solid just all season long. And credit to Evereaux where it is due. He's done a really good job with a really banged up defense, especially in the secondary. You know, mixing and matching every single week, it seems like. You know, and again, another game where I think the Panthers' offense should have been able to come through. And didn't. Also, shout out to Amir Smith-Marset. I think early in the season, I was down on him because he just wasn't doing anything in the return game. And you told me one time, at least he's not fumbling, which is true. But you know, over the last few weeks, I think that he's made some really smart plays. He's had some really nice returns. He had one in this game that, you know, 15-yard return or something on a punt, but with the amount of punts that were in this game, as rainy as it was, you know, holding onto the ball, not something that's guaranteed. So shout out to him. Just, I think he's had a good season. It was a good trade to bring him in. One of Scott Fitter's rare wins this season. So shout out to Smith-Marset there.
Yeah, another thing, too, with the offense is the first half was just abysmal for offenses. I mean, the rain was coming down. You could tell it was affecting both sides, both teams. Like, yeah, that 7-3 at halftime. Baker threw, you could tell it just slipped out of his hands.
Right, yep. But nice job, you know, by, was it Xavier Woods, I think? Nice job by him for catching it, because Mike Evans couldn't, right? Mike Evans is out there with no gloves on in the rain, which I understand why. They said the gloves were kind of getting slick, but I was watching him run, and he was keeping his hands closed when he was running to try to keep them dry as long as he possibly could.
Oh, that's Mike smart. Evans. That's something I would have thought of. But
yeah, I was watching him when he was doing that. I was like, oh, okay, I understand that. So yeah, I don't know, Jerry. I mean, do we win another game this season? Like, that feels like this was one that slipped through the fingers.
I think we do. I think we do have some games coming up. I think this is kind of the stretch where we need to pull off another win pretty soon. And I think we can. I think this was a winnable game, like you said.
Yeah.
But I also think, again, the Bucks later on, last week of the season, they may be out of the playoffs and everything. We may be able to sneak in a win. Green Bay is not that great, but the Saints and Falcons coming up, I think, are both winnable.
Sure. The NFC South is bad, and, you know, those games feel like a toss-up anytime anyway. Panthers officially, by the way, eliminated from playoff contention today.
Oh, okay.
So mathematically now, and you know, we've known for weeks, but mathematically completely eliminated. So still, though, it's... I don't know. It's just been one of those seasons. All right. Well, any other thoughts kind of before we start looking at the stats here?
No. I guess my thought was it is this game I felt okay about. I felt at least we had a chance in it. Really sucks that they couldn't pull it off in the last one. I agree that 3rd-and-1 was the most moronic play call. But
frustrating.
I was happy Bryce Young didn't look like he got beat the crap out of all day.
Even though he got sacked 4 times.
Was he sacked 4 times?
He was sacked 4 times. Sacked 4 times, threw that interception, had a fumble, although it was recovered by the Panthers. Technically it was the backwards pass that just kind of rolled out of bounds. But yeah, I don't think Bryce had a good game today at all. He's 15 of 31, 178 yards, interception, 4 sacks. You know, had the game losing interception again. He didn't look good today, and you know they highlighted some reasons why. And again, you talked about the rain, the weather, not good. But every week we have these excuses for why Bryce doesn't look good, and I hope next year when hopefully they're able to add a weapon or two, they're able to add an offensive lineman or two, I hope that we see something different. Because right now it doesn't look good.
I still say yes. He's. You look at the charts. You look at how accurate he really is when he's not throwing the ball away. And I think 5 to 10 of those incompletions are usually throwaways. Because no one's getting open, which...
But, I understand that. Should he be trying to throw guys open? Should he be trying to make plays?
He doesn't trust any of these receivers. That's the biggest problem.
Does he trust himself?
I think he trusts himself. I don't think he believes these receivers. That's why Adam Thielen is such a his go-to on third down, and why teams now just blanket him, because... They know that, you know, it's not like it seems like Mingo's now getting some of his attention.
We'll talk about Mingo in a second. But I don't know, man. I saw a few plays today and even one where like the announcers were circling going, where is he going to throw the ball? Nobody's open. Well, it looked like he could have gone over the middle and thrown someone open. But I don't know that he could see over the line. I don't know that he had that lane. And that's something else they talked about, was the throwing lanes have to be pretty they have to be very precise for him because he can't see over the line. He's, you know, he's 5'10". He can't see over the line. And I thought it was kind of funny at one point they were showing kind of a side-by-side of Baker on the bench and then Bryce in the huddle. But you couldn't see Bryce because he was so small that you could only see the offensive lineman. And every once in a while you'd see Bryce's head sticking out. But it's a real thing. Like, it is – whoever this next head coach is they are going to have to build a scheme around Bryce Young's limitations and strengths to make him effective.
And we, I'm hoping we will. Otherwise, in 2 years, 3 years, we're going to be drafting another quarterback. I mean, yeah. I think he has the talent. I think he's accurate enough. In the offseason, what I do want him to do is bulk up. I don't – he looks skinny. He looks skinny up top and down below. I want him to really work on his lower body. I want him to be able to – because you get a lot of the juice for your throws – on your lower bodies. That's mm-hmm. If I was the coaching staff, whoever comes in, that would be like my offseason goal for you is to get stronger in your legs. I want you to be able to torque it a little bit harder because sometimes his deep throws do loft up there.
Yeah, they do. And you know, the sideline throws, mm-hmm. they stay in the air a little too long. And I worry about that. So we'll see. Again, not out on Bryce, but whoever this head coach is, they're just going to have to understand how to maximize his skill set. And mm-hmm. I hope that that's David Tepper's number one criteria when looking for a coach.
It should be.
It should be.
Not,
all right, move.
Not his meatballs or whatever cooking he was doing at Matt Rule's house.
Yeah, just whatever.
Or all Frank right. Reich's list of coaches he already has lined up.
Look, I mean, that was a real thing, but
didn't work.
What does it matter at this point? I mean, we saw Thomas Brown calling plays today, and Thomas Brown's the guy that called those third and fourth down plays at the end of the game.
But Frank took over and forced his plays or his scheme down this team, even though he said it was going to be a co-op. So
I know. All right, Chuba, 25 carries, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great game from Chuba. You know, they used him a lot, force-fed him. Hey, I mean, this is a game where the Panthers had 34 rushes and 31 passes. That's the kind of split we like to see. 100%. And it's a game the Panthers should have won, in my opinion. Miles Sanders, 8 for 23. Blackshear, 1 for 6. Receiving-wise, okay. So, Jonathan Mingo, 10 targets, 6 catches, 69 yards. Had a couple of longer, he had a 31-yard catch, and he had another one that was at least, you know, around 20 yards, I think. I liked what I saw from Mingo today.
I did, too. That one that was called incompletion, I thought he caught it. But
I think he did catch it, and I think had it been called a catch on the field, they wouldn't have overturned it.
Because it looked like his elbows hit, he controlled the ball.
You just couldn't see if he lost control or not. And since they called it incomplete, they just left it at that. But to me, it looked like a catch. He was pretty confident it was a catch.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Mingo looks solid. A lot better than I have seen him.
Yeah. So good job by Mingo. That does give me some hope that, you know, maybe he next year could really be a guy that steps up.
Yeah, takes a step. Yeah.
Yeah. DJ Chark, 3 catches, 56 yards on 4 targets. Had a nice deep one as well. Had Bryce been able to get that one a little further out, that's a touchdown. He had his guy beat all day long. But I don't know if the weather played a factor in that or what, but still made a nice 30-yard catch. So I did like, you know, the Panthers went downfield a little bit in this game. I like that. Thielen, 3 for 25 on 6 targets. They were definitely, as you said, making sure that he was covered.
Yeah,
you know, sufficiently.
So.
Yeah.
What we should have done with Mike Evans.
Yeah. Stephen Sullivan, 1 for 16. Again, a guy that should be involved more in the offense. Great hands, good size. He's what you want in a pass catching tight end.
He adjusted to that ball in the air very well.
Yeah.
I saw that and I immediately said, yeah, it's time for him to be our number one pass catching tight end.
Not the first really nice catch he's had this season.
No.
He just doesn't get the opportunities. And I don't understand it, but Sanders won for six. Ian Thomas won for six. And then Strawn was thrown to, but it was out of bounds. Looking at the defense here, Marquise Haynes led the team in tackles with seven, had a sack, a couple of tackles for loss. Luvu.
A very good, quiet game for him. I didn't realize he had such a good game, but.
Yeah, I mean, he had the only sack. I'd like to say, I want to see how many snaps he played, because that's always the thing with him is he only plays like 30% of snaps, so I want to see that. Luvu, seven tackles. J.C. Horn, five tackles in his return, one pass deflection. Again, I thought J.C. Horn had a decent game. Troy Hill, four, again, went out. And then, you know, scattered tackles here and there. Dante Jackson ended up with two pass deflections. So, you know, five pass deflections on the team today, three QB hits. Yeah, one of those bend, don't break defenses that unfortunately broke on the big one. But not a bad day. Not a bad day. Johnny Hecker, eight punts today. Only one of them inside the 20, unfortunately. But he was booming them all day long. Mainly because a lot of times he was punting and it was kind of deep in our own territory anyway. So, looking at Tampa, Baker, 14 to 29, one touchdown, one interception. Yeah, Baker didn't have a very good game either, honestly.
No, but, and again, I think the weather played a lot of part. Yeah. Even after that, it's hard to get that ball out when it's so wet on the field.
Right, the field's, even if it's not rain, the field's still wet. Like, it's just one of those games. Rashad White, 20 carries, 84 yards, one touchdown. Not a bad game from him. Godwin had a carry for 19 yards and a touchdown. Trey Palmer, one carry, 13 yards, and then a couple carries for a couple other guys. Mike Evans led the team in receiving, seven receptions, 162 yards and a touchdown. Again, had the long one. Like, we were so happy because the Panthers had taken the lead, right?
Oh, a nice drive. Yeah. Nice long drive.
Yeah. 10-7, like feeling good, and then just like, I don't know if it was the next play or if it was a couple of plays, but just immediately.
It felt like the next play, but.
Immediately, 75-yard touchdown, and that was it. That was the last time that we had the lead, but just Mike Evans good. I think is this he went over 1,000 yards, right, in this game?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so he's good. 3 for 22 for White. Palmer, 2 for 12, and a couple others. So, and they didn't get a lot going on in the passing game.
We kept Chris Godwin to zero catches on three targets. That's impressive. Chris Godwin's good.
He is good. Yep. And I think J.C. Horn was on him a lot. So, shout out to J.C. Antoine Winfield Jr., J.J. Russell, and Yaya Diaby each had a sack. And then there's a team credited sack. I don't know. Never seen that before.
I don't know.
So I'm not sure who the fourth sack gets credited to. Four QB hits and three pass deflections for the Bucks. Their punter also punted eight times and only one inside the 20 for them. So he did have one touchback, though, J.J. Hecker, no, or Johnny Hecker, no touchbacks. So I think we won the punting matchup. Congratulations. looking at... team stats here real quick. Penalties, Panthers with 7 for 62 yards. Bucks with 5 for 36 yards.
And it's always huge plays. Yeah. It's always stupid play. Hands to the face that drive back a first down. Stuff like that.
Yep. One pretty obvious pass interference.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Again, undisciplined. Panthers only 3 for 15 on third downs today. Bucks 6 for 15. Just not good enough there. Panthers won the time of possession game, mainly due to how good Chuba Hubbard was today. I don't know, Jerry. Just another one of those games that I think that's five or six games this year that had the offense just been a little better, the Panthers win.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the reoccurring thing about the Panthers the past, honestly, since Tepper's been here.
Yeah. You know, for some reason, they're just not making the right decisions when it comes to the offense.
No.
You know, and the one, you know, star they had on offense, they traded. Or the two stars they had on offense, they traded with CMC and DJ Moore. And since then, they just have not been able to figure it out. Really,
I
since
mean,
CMC.
Even before that, they weren't able to figure it out. I mean, they had CMC running stupid amounts, but it was up the middle into a pile instead of running outside. They weren't passing to him. It was BS over and over again. DJ Moore, like, two targets in a game. You're like, why?
Yeah, CMC also over 1,000 yards today. So,
good for
congrats to him.
I am happy for CMC and DJ Moore succeeding everywhere else, even though it looks bad on us as a franchise, because those two guys were good stand-up guys who always tried their hardest, were always towed the company line, didn't talk bad and stuff about other players or the organization, even though they had every right to.
Yeah,
so I'm happy that they're succeeding.
Stand-up guys, good teammates, good locker room guys, good guys in the community, just people that you want on your team. People that you want in your franchise, unless you're David Tepper, I guess. So.
Or Scott Fitter, because he's the one who actually traded him.
Those moves don't get made without Scott, David Tepper.
True.
Signing off, you know that. So, and it wouldn't surprise me if David Tepper walked into Scott Fitter's office with a piece of paper, and you know, trade CMC was written on it or something, right? He's been known to do that. All right. Any final thoughts, Jerry?
I really hope we win one or two of these upcoming games. Get us out of that first pick. Just please.
Yeah, it's going to be real sad if we hand the number one pick to Chicago after trading them all that stuff for the number one pick last year. And they still got Jalen Carter. Out of it, it's and
Jalen
DJ
Carter's
Moore.
In Philly.
Who am I talking about?
I don't know who they picked, but what's Jalen Carter?
Okay, whoever it is. Either way, so Saints next week, Falcons, Packers, Jags, Bucks. That's the last five games. Yeah, maybe one win. Maybe
two. I'm hoping for two. Saints lost to the Lions today, 28-33. Falcons beat the Jets 8-13. Neither one of those teams I'm scared of. There's chances, man.
There are chances.
And this is the first week without Frank Reich. I'm hoping Thomas Brown can implement more offense into next week too.
And we did talk about this in our preview that, you know, there probably wasn't enough time this week to really make a lot of changes, and that it was the next week that we were hoping to see a good bit of differences. But I thought we saw some differences in this game.
I do too.
And that does give me some hope for next week. Again, going against the Saints with who knows if Carr is going to play. It is in New Orleans, always kind of a tough place to play. So we'll see. But Panthers have scored 20 points. Three times this season. Three times.
And I think those other... I know two of those times it was blowouts where it was kind of garbage time. We got
42-21, 42-24. Yeah. And 37-27. I mean, they were all double-digit losses. So, oh, man. It just, you know... But again, since the Miami game, we hadn't scored more than 15, so... We saw something different today. There is that. All right. Well, you mentioned the other NFC South scores here, so I think that's going to do it.
Yep. We want to thank everyone for listening. If you like the show, please let your friends know. Please follow us on Twitter at meowmixpodcast.com or at meowmixpodcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at mailbag@meowmixpodcast.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review with a comment on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it on our show. Please like and subscribe on YouTube.
And we'll be back middle of the week to discuss the next game. Also, I'm thinking of a little segment that we might do called In or Out.
Out.
So we'll see about that out. One.
Out. Don't know.
Until next time.
Definitely virtually next time.
Stay safe out there. And keep pounding.